Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey hustlers, we know that this 2024, the entrepreneurial journey is filled with challenges. An often overlooked aspect is the time-consuming task of processing payroll and managing government requirements. And did you know that the average admin spends a whopping 50 hours per month dealing with just government compliance? That's time you could be spending on growing your business, or let's be honest, taking a well-deserved break. But fear not, we got a game changer for you, introducing Sprout Solutions and their tailored solutions for MSMEs called the Payroll Starter. With Sprout Solutions Payroll Starter, you can finally reclaim your time and get your life back on track. Say goodbye to the stress of remembering tax dates or worrying about missed payroll runs. This bundle is designed to make your life easier and your business more efficient. And here's the best part. The cost starts just at 5,000 pesos per month for businesses with up to 10 employees. Yep, you heard that right. That's just 5,000 pesos per month. So why spend another minute drowning in payroll paperwork when Sprout can revolutionize the way you manage your payroll and government requirements? Take the first step towards a more efficient business today. Visit sprout.ph/payrollstartermonthly5k. If you missed that, don't worry. We have it in the description box of this episode, so click that too. And again, big shout out to Sprout Solutions because your time is too valuable to be spent on paperwork. Reclaim it with their Payroll Starter. Now let's begin this episode.
The Hustle Share podcast is brought to you by PDAX. PDAX is a homegrown cryptocurrency exchange that offers the best rates among local cryptocurrency exchanges. Download the PDAX app now on the Google Play Store, App Store, or Huawei App Gallery. Start trading Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other cryptocurrencies for as low as 50 pesos by signing up on podlink.co/hustleshare PDAX. Also powered by Podmetrics, the easiest way to monetize your podcast. Sign up now at podmetrics.co for free and use the code HustleShare.
As that demand keeps increasing, we want to fill that 1.5K branch void, and we want to be able to seize that demand. So if we're able to, you know, open organically and keep closing these accretive deals, then I think we will be in a very good position to have 400 to 500 branches by 2025.
Welcome to HustleShare, the podcast that features the daily grinds of unique hustlers around the world to show not our differences, but that our hustles are very much alike. Now here is your host, Ronster Baitiong.
Welcome to the latest episode of the HustleShare podcast. I owe this guy a massive apology because we have rescheduled a shit ton of times. But finally, we are here and we're coming clean. Because again, they have literally just launched and, you know, took over your Labada in the Philippines. They're raising $900,000 to take care of your Labada in the Philippines. And easily one of the most impressive companies that you probably haven't heard of yet until now. So let's welcome their COO, Ignacio Pelan of Weeklean Philippines. Ignacio, thank you so much and welcome to Hustle Sharing.
Thanks for having me, Ron.
Apologies for a lot of the Christmas rush that had to happen. We're finally here and I have a lot of Labada that I'd love to. Is it Labada also in Spanish or is it Labada?
It's Lavanderia. Almost, very close, very similar.
Okay, yeah. Here it's Labada, and we all know what it is. It's dirty clothes. And again, we're very happy to have you. And it's been a while, but again, $900,000 to take care of Filipino laundry. But before I get carried away, I need to ask you the million-dollar question. Ignacio, what's your hustle?
So, thanks for the great introduction, Ron. Our hustle is, I'm going to put it in simple terms. There was a CEO of WeClean. We're a fully integrated laundry business. We run and operate both self-service and full-service laundromats. And our goal is very simple, right? We just want to become the biggest laundry player in the Philippines. And, once we accomplish that, maybe branch out into other, countries in the region. So our hustle is, we look at deals. We try buying, profitable laundromats at low multiples. And then we also are now opening branches organically. So we're both acquiring and opening branches. Wow. And we've grown like crazy over the past year. We started with 7 branches. We will be closing the year with 63.
What?
So yeah, we've grown pretty quickly. We've seized the moment. And
a lot of dirty clothes out there.
A lot of dirty clothes. COVID or no COVID, people still have to wash their clothes. So that's where we come in, and that's where we come and offer an essential service.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, exciting times ahead.
And again, shout out to your friends also who recommended you highly. We have some of those guys and we're all doing well. So again, shout out to the guy that has been fully adamant in getting you here, Carlos Otermin of Lazada and Buco Ventures. But again, you have friends also in this group that have done amazing jobs. Again, we'll start with Andrew, who's done, again, good work. Who's then, aside from Lazada, he's taking care of making sure that we have great and clean houses. And of course, your other friend as well, who's of course from Flower Store, who make sure that we have fragrant houses. And of course, now you are talking about here. And before we talk about why you guys are doing this, we need to buckle up a little bit and sit back and relax, because I need to understand where y'all came from and how you were made. Because we're gonna have to ride the Hustle Share time machine. All right, just a little bumpy. Lots of laundry in the back. All those used underwear. Yeah.
Washer cycle.
No, it's my. Yeah. It's also my used underwear that I put in the back years of them. 3 years I haven't taken out. Just kidding. All right, but again, nice. Ignacio, I want to understand again. You're obviously Spanish, right? I want to understand what was growing up like in España, right? Where entrepreneurship obviously is not foreign to you guys, but what were you like growing up and what were your early hustles that you had to make?
That's a great question. So I would say my first hustle started in actually college. So I grew up in Spain, I was born there and then went to college in the States. And my first hustle was actually organizing parties for my friends.
Whoa.
Right? So, nice. Very basic. A lot of fun, and we made a bit of money on the side. So, and we grew that from, throwing small parties at our apartment back in Boston to actually, renting out full out nightclubs, flying out DJs from Europe, organizing events for 300 plus people. So that was actually our first hustle. It wasn't that profitable. Margins were relatively tight, but it was a great, business to network. Mm-hmm. To grow my group of friends, and it sort of gave me my first perspective into what a business is like, what it is, the feeling of growing a business, the excitement, but also the tough components of running a business, dealing with partners. We were 6.
Yeah.
Internal fights, everyone thinks they're right, things like that. So I was actually 19 when it started. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually, business is still running. I'm still on the board, but I'm not, I'm not running it in any way, shape or form. So that was actually my first hustle.
That
we
amazing.
Did close to $100,000 in revenue the first year.
Wow.
Which seemed like a lot of money, but I guess now it's just not as big as,
as
it used to sound. Yeah. Now it's chump change. That was my first hustle, and going back. I was always very, entrepreneurial, always liked business, was very interested in finance at an early age, tried to read as much as I could, spoke to family members and friends about the stock market. That was sort of my first thing that really interested me about business. And then I sort of really enjoyed the scaling up of a business, the running of a business.
Right.
So yeah, that was my first, running this events company in the States was my first hustle.
Okay. Now there's one thing about nightlife that I'm very, very particular, because also that was my first business per se. I ran a nightlife app in the Philippines. I did that for 6 years. It was the biggest nightlife app in Southeast Asia at that time.
Nice.
But so again, I can totally relate to this hustle, because there's something about nightlife that forges you to become a gritty person. Because number one, first off, it's a wild, wild west type of thing. There's a lot of people, a lot of janky promoters, a lot of shady people. And you kind of learn the tricks of the trade, because you have to stand your own ground or else you're going to get fucked over. Right.
Yeah.
And then the most important thing is, one thing that really stuck through me till now is giving people utmost best service.
Yeah,
you can't do nightlife if you don't know how to make people feel good. And you can't make people how to give them a good time. What are the key things you learned in nightlife? I'm very curious, because again, I can totally relate. Like, oh shit, I was nodding my head back and forth. We're saying, man, I know your hustle, because I went through that too, and it's never fun. And that's because at one point when you're doing nightlife, right, the fun goes away. Like it just becomes like work. Like, oh god, I'm wasted. I don't want to. I already know what the DJ is gonna play. I don't know who's gonna see there, and I don't care what flashy outfits the girls are gonna look. Things. It's just not fun anymore. What was it like for you?
I guess what I learned the most was dealing with difficult personalities. That was, the club owners who think they're the kings of the world.
Yes.
maybe business partners who also think they're the smartest. But I would really say that. And I also learned, even if you're having fun running a business, at the end of the day, you have to run it for money, right? And it has to be scalable, and there has to be some sort of margin expansion down the line, and the business has to improve overall. Right. And with sort of diverging points of view, an industry where scaling a business is relatively hard, right. Cause scaling a nightlife business is you go from throwing events for 300, 400 people to 5,000. Right. And just that jump alone, and how much money you actually have to, put down and raise to throw an event for say 3,000, 5,000 people is massive. And the amount of things that can go wrong, right? You can get sued if something goes wrong.
People die.
People can die. People can have accidents. It was great. Networked, had fun, learned the ins and outs about business at an early age, but it was not viable in the long term.
Absolutely. But it's, again, if I also had to look back, I wouldn't trade it for anything, because that freaking forced me to grow up. Right. And again, it's like it feels like you're getting thrown to the wolves. And if you make it out, you can make it anywhere, and make it anywhere you did. Just now, after doing this nightlife thing, what was the next thing that you guys did that you did?
After that, I co-founded with my brother, this small company in the States, just as an investment vehicle, invested in the markets. I was pretty lucky because I set it up right before the shit hit the fan with COVID. Mm-hmm. So I was able to sort of make a bit of money with that, but decided to liquidate, distribute the profits, and that was it. So that was my second hustle. It was a lot of fun, during college, you're investing here and there, reading a lot, 10Qs, 10Ks, investor calls, quarterly calls. So that was a lot of fun. I did it with my brother. It was sort of a good bonding experience. Plus, we got to make a bit of money, so all the better. Mm-hmm. That was my second hustle. Definitely not as interesting as the first one, but still very, very formative and forced me to take a sort of holistic view at businesses, look at everything, operations, finance, accounting, everything. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I've used those skills I've learned in what I'm currently doing, right? Because we're buying laundromats. Buying laundromats is the same as buying any other business, right? Be it a private business, a public business that trades publicly, the fundamentals are the same.
Absolutely.
So,
and those fundamentals are what I want to zero in now, because again, you can't just be an investor at one point if you don't hone that skill and just buy because of hype or just because, oh, that looks, you know, those superficial facts. What are the things you look at back then before the laundromat business that you make you more than, of course, the selling price and, you know, being able to trade at the right, come in at the right price and exit at the right price? What are the things you look for when you invest in a business that eventually came in handy when you're doing the laundromat business?
I mean, I guess it all depends on what business you're investing in, right? Are you investing in growth, right, in a tech company where fundamentals really don't matter that much? The only thing that matters is top line growth, user growth. Yeah. Or are you investing in a more traditional brick and mortar business where the only thing you care about is, you know, cash flows, margins, you know, what the financial ratio metrics look like.
Right.
So I did a bit of both. I had a bit more luck, you know, given with all the, you know, what happened with COVID, the great sell-off in March 2020. I had more luck with distressed, a lot of retailers.
Mm.
So not as fancy growth stocks, but more brick and mortar. Right. So the principles I applied back then is what, you know, we're trying to apply now in the Philippines.
What principles were those? So just so that we share, because as we dissect later with the laundry business, I want to see how your mind ticks. Like, all right, okay, if they're in distress, it again might be opportunistic, but you can be that person that actually saves the business, right?
Right.
What are these principles you look at?
Right. So if you're looking at a distress play, you know, you have to, you know, read up enough about the company to know that there will be sort of a catalyst down the line that was sort of the company will improve down the line, right?
Right.
Many of these companies were emerging from bankruptcy. Their debt was being restructured. Assets were being sold off. And, you know, eventually they came out of bankruptcy with a, you know, with a better, more solvent, with higher quality assets, less debt. So that's something I look for.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's, you know, the principles apply now with these laundromats, right? You have we're buying laundromats that used to be generating, you know, 50% more revenue pre-COVID, right? So you have these laundromats that are still profitable today, right? But no one is looking at, no one wants to invest in mm-hmm. brick and mortar businesses, you know, in the States, in the Philippines, in Kenya. You know, it's not attractive. It's not sexy. So the metrics are good. Fundamentals are good. These assets are considered, right, distressed, right? Because no one wants to touch them with a barge pole. So that's where we come in and consolidate, one laundromat at a time.
But again, this is similar to nightlife, right? So if you're working with club owners who think they're the best entrepreneurs out there, most of these laundromats that you're talking to eventually are mom and pop. And with mom and pop owners of businesses, they have that sentimental attachment to whatever they put forth. How do you navigate those waters? Because especially if you identify that, okay, this is a good business, right? But how do you get them to say yes eventually if it's something sentimental to them and they're so used to running it like a mom and pop?
That's a great question. We've actually found that a lot of people who are actually buying these laundromats for have a few businesses, right? So they're not as emotionally attached to one.
Nice.
So we're no BS, straightforward. If we like the business, we're gonna buy it, and we make pretty quick offers, right? Once they send over the financials, we can sort of have a pretty good idea of you know, the historics, you know, possibly future performance, margins, et cetera, and we can take a look at, you know, where can we actually improve this laundromat, right? Can we cut down on labor? Can we maybe sell a couple machines? You know, are they overpaying for utilities? You know, how can we manage this and that?
Wow.
So usually it's, you know, entrepreneurs that have a few other businesses. So there's not as much emotional attachment to that laundry business. Once they sent over the financials, we make an offer within 24 hours. So we're working.
Wow, that's fast. Oh God. They'll be like, what? If I was a laundromat owner, they're like, wow, 24 hours. These guys are serious. Right.
Yeah.
And last question before we take our last break. So you do that. And are these typically like franchises? Because I see a lot of laundromats. So again, I'm a user myself. I
hope you use Weekly now. Huh?
Yes. Definitely when I go back to Manila, I'm not situated in Manila and I have people doing laundry. But definitely when I go back, because during the pandemic, I moved out to the outskirts because it's safer for my family. But
yeah,
more than anything, a lot of these laundromats that I see in the metro, at least, are franchises. And that gets complicated over time because eventually if you're going to be under WeClean, right, it's going to be tough to change that branding. I don't know what the dynamic would be, but are those one-offs or are these like part of franchise that we're talking about?
Actually, our biggest competitors are all franchises. You know,
got it.
We decided early on, Ron, that you know, if we were going to spend the time running a business, we might as well run it ourselves, right? What's the point of having a franchisee, you know, receiving, I don't know, 300,000 pesos as franchisee fee, but I can make that money running that laundromat if it's successful in 3 to 4 months, right?
Makes sense.
Again, we're long term investors.
Yep.
You know, and
long haul.
One of the main problems with having franchisees is, you know, something happens, right? And it's on you, the franchisor. You know, the franchisee can be the, you know, the most incompetent businessman or businesswoman in the Philippines. But if something happens, it's going to be your fault, right?
Yeah.
So if something is going to happen, you might as well be the one receiving, you know, might as well be the one collecting the profits every day, right?
Makes a lot of sense.
That's why we're the biggest. We have the biggest branch footprint in the Philippines, and our competitors are all franchisees, right? So I think it's a business model that's poised for success because it hasn't been done at this scale in the Philippines.
And I'm a firm believer of consolidation because, again, I love SMBs. But if you're trying to scale and if you're trying to make everything uniform, you have to run something on a formula that's replicatable and repeatable across the board. And it doesn't matter where the location would be.
100%. Yeah.
All right. Now let's take our first break. And when we come back, I now want to dissect deeper into your Labada and to now understand how you guys run the business. And wow, how did you raise $900,000 for everybody? You're just running franchises and your Labandera and whatnot. Well, let's talk about that more after the break.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, I have a very, very exciting opportunity I want to share with you guys. If you're a B2B startup founder, listen up. Your ticket to growth is here. Introducing Impact 24, the Philippines' largest B2B SaaS challenge. Calling all startups in their pre-launch, pre-seed, or seed stages, this is your chance to accelerate their growth. Submit your pitch to Impact 24 and get ready for a 10-week intensive program to elevate your solution. What's in it for you? How about up to 500,000 pesos in MVP project support, exclusive credits from industry partners, personalized mentoring, and a shot to pitch at SaaSCon PH, the country's biggest SaaS conference this April. But yo, you gotta hurry up because submissions close on January 26, 2024 already. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your startup to new heights. Apply now at saaschallenge.ph. That's saaschallenge.ph. And good luck, and I'll see you guys in Impact 24. And we're back from the break. We are still with Ignacio Falan, again, of WeClean, your COO. But I just want to make sure, did I butcher your last name? Because, again, I said that.
A bit.
Oh. Okay, how do you
spell that? It's okay, it's Phelan.
Phelan. Got
yeah,
it, my bad.
No worries, Ron.
There you go. Phelan. No, I will make sure that I do not embarrass myself again. So, Ignacio, okay. What I want to understand now is, again, you gave us already a very good idea of how you process and how you technically scale, but I'll make this a little bit more personal. So no. You came from nightlife. Fundamentals are dope. You develop grit, which, again, nightlife gives you, right? And now you can apply it into a business. But why the Philippines all of a sudden? Because you were in Boston. That's like the epicenter of technology. Cambridge is there. All the MIT graduates are there. And that's in the East Coast. Majority of the people that ever typically go here in the West Coast, and they just cross the Pacific for some reason. Well, you're in the East Coast. What's in the Philippines that you saw? And why did you choose to solve the problem of laundry of all the problems that we have here?
That's a great question. I've always been interested in Southeast Asia as a region. I had never actually been here before.
No way. Wow.
And again, yeah. And I think it's one of the main regions in the world, if not the main region, where, you know, that's going to drive global GDP growth in the next 30 years. It's a great macro play. Population is young, economy's growing. People are adopting technology, extremely fast. Everyone has a smartphone. So I think it was a very exciting opportunity to actually, roll up my sleeves, move to a different country and scale a business that is actually highly scalable. Mm-hmm.
And when you got here, what's the network like? Because again, of course you now know Carlos, right? But again, it's going to be what all the directions point towards us. If you look at the Google Temasek review of Southeast Asia last year, the fastest growing digital economy in the region, right? Yeah. So all points towards it. There's so much opportunity, and the ecosystem also is booming. There are now Filipino local startups that are raised Series B, and there's a lot of unicorns that are going to come out of this country, right? And it's just a matter of time. But coming in, again, you've never been to this place. You have no idea. I guess the Spanish influence of how we do things helps a little bit, right? Yeah. But what were the biggest adjustments, and what are the things that you had to go through on a personal note as a founder that you came in here and you found challenging, especially during a pandemic?
Yeah, great question. I think what I found most challenging is, having worked in the States, both helping to run my nightlife business, and I also had internships in the States. I also had an internship in Switzerland and another one in Germany. I came from, a business culture that was very direct, no bullshit. say it as it is.
Yep.
Feelings. I don't really care about your feelings. I just want you to do a good job. I came into the Philippines where sugarcoat everything. Make sure that someone does not get offended with what you say. That was a bit hard getting used to, because I was accustomed to people shouting, you know, telling, you could do a better job at this, this, and this.
Yep.
So that was a bit hard getting used to. But I get, again, I'm a sponge, and one has to adapt to wherever you are. So, so I think that was by far the hardest.
Got it. But why laundry? Why again, this has been an age old problem for the longest time that Filipinos exist, during, again, Spanish colonial times, American times. This is something that we typically outsource already. There is a profession in the neighborhood, always, it's called the lavandera, right? Who just come in and take your shit for a couple of, take your dirty laundry, a couple of things, and they wash it and they hang it, and then that's it. But again, and then there's always laundries, but again, they're super hyper fragmented, mom and pop, and like what I said. What opportunity that you see, more than it's a cash business? So I'm looking at this at the lens of a Marty Bird Ozarks. I don't know if you watched that.
Yeah, series. I've seen a TV show. Yeah,
right. Like, oh man, this is a cash business, and it's easy to run. What did you see in this problem that you can easily swoop in and scale this fast?
Great question. I think very simple. You know, as you were saying, a lot of these businesses are mom and pop shops. They're not really that professionally managed. It's more of a sort of side hustle some entrepreneurs have. So, you know, there hasn't been a large player in the Philippines, right? So we want to be that large player, and we already are that large player.
Yeah.
So if, you know, we come in, buy these mom and pops, consolidate them under one corporate umbrella, and we can actually offer a better service, right? Have nicer stores that are cleaner, offer additional services like a water vending machine, bills payment terminal, free Wi-Fi, things like that, TV with, and if we can actually, that's what we're doing. If we can have, you know, say 300, 400 branches, you know, completely standard, like a Jollibee's, right? And people know that regardless of what branch they're going to go to, they're going to get the same exact service, right? And that is something they can't say if, you know, they go from one mom pop shop to another. So if we can actually accomplish that, and that is actually what we're aiming to do, I think there's, you know, a lot of possibility to grow this business in the mid to long run.
Yeah. Absolutely. And again, the margins are good, right? I'm pretty sure. And the biggest question in my mind right now is that typically the old-fashioned way of doing things here in the Philippines is, again, you franchise it, you kind of standardize it, but even though you standardize it through a franchise model, there's always deviation of, okay, some franchisee will deviate from the flow and try to sell some snacks on the side. You know, won't follow. I'm on an operational level, that's what I want to find out. How do you standardize this across the board? And especially if it's coming from a corporate structure, that needs a lot of training and a lot of handholding, given also that if you're trying to make sure that margins are good and you're trying to cut costs, the type of people you're going to hire aren't going to be the most educated people on the planet or in the country as well.
Yeah.
But for you to sustain that profitability and, again, that same formula across the board must be operationally difficult. What did you guys do on that point?
You're absolutely right. It's operationally very heavy, right? Each laundromat operates as its own sort of little business, even though, you know, it operates in the one structure. And yes, dealing with people, especially, you know, it's a cash business. So we've had, you know, moments in the past where we've caught employees stealing. And as you were saying, you know, our employees, you know, are not the most sophisticated people, right? So, you know, some of the people who've stolen have had, you know, family problems. They were tight. Yep. You know, you had to, you know, provide more, et cetera, et cetera.
Bale. So did you learn? They learned the word bale already.
Yeah.
They'll advance from you.
So yeah, I mean, you filter these things out, right?
Got it.
At the end of the day, you're happy they happen because they help you improve, and that's what we've done. You know, we've sort of filtered out. We've stuck with the good employees, and you know, once you know we sort of have a good employee base, and you know, they provide a good service. We can actually train them, and you know, it pays out in colors. So,
Got it. Now on the all of this will not work if you don't have a good tech infra. And that's what I want to talk about, right? Because all of this shit, if you do this manually, there's just no way you're going to be able to scale this fast. Talk about what you guys did on the operational tech infrastructure for you to scale this fast. Again, I've seen this happen with Andrew and Gidwork. Change the whole dynamic and how he does the cleaning, on-demand cleaning. Flower store the same. It's in plain sight. People have seen this problem for a long time and nobody freaking solved anything. But there's something they did at the back that allowed it to scale fast. What was that for you guys?
So for us, it was actually two things. One, installing sort of point of sale systems in all of our branches that could sort of help us control pilferage. The sales, so these POS systems are directly linked to the machine. So if an order is not correctly inputted through the POS, the machine cannot run, right?
Got it.
So that helps us, control pilferage, And then second is actually to hire good people. So we have, six branch managers who are absolutely fantastic. They do a great job, and they're sort of our ears, our eyes and ears at the ground level, right? Because even though I try to visit maybe 6 or 7 branches a day, I can't cover the whole of Metro Manila in a day, right? I take a week, maybe almost 10 days. So actually hiring good people, incentivizing them, making them feel part of something bigger, giving them responsibility. Absolutely. And, especially learning how to delegate.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, I'd say it's probably the worst analogy, but you kind of have to run it like a cartel. You have to have the right eyes and ears on the ground to make sure that nobody snitches, everybody's running it the right way, because if not, things deviate. But of course, the cartel, it runs on a proper economic or technology backbone, which is, again, you go direct to the machine so that there's no pilferage, or to make it more common. So if you're like, what is pilferage? Nobody steals shit. There's no nakaw, okay? Right? Nobody pockets money there. But I now want to understand, Ignacio, how profitable are laundry businesses? Because if, for example, somebody's listening to this now, and they're like, what the fuck am I doing with a laundry business? I'm making ends meet, but whatever. And maybe it's time to join WeClean or whatnot. How good can a properly run business of laundry can be? Again, because it's a cash business, right? And it's something that you do on routine. Everybody will wear dirty shit. You do it on the regular, right? Every community needs it. But again, not everybody's doing it the proper way. What are the numbers like?
Without getting into specifics,
yes, please.
I can sort of delve into it a bit. The key is location. We found that the best locations are actually in C to D residential markets. People who are middle to working class to middle class in the Philippines. People who make between, the equivalent of $200 to $300 a month. And people cannot actually afford a laundry machine, right? Who can't actually spend $500, right? Or 25,000 pesos on a laundry machine. And more than that, it's also the utility costs attached to owning a laundry machine, right? We all know that electricity is extremely expensive in the Philippines. Shout out to Morocco.
Monopoly of the game right there.
So it's also extremely expensive to actually have one and run it on a daily basis. And, Filipino families tend to be pretty big. So imagine if they had one laundry machine. They'd be running it, 24/7 every day for the entire week. So it's better that those costs, quote unquote, are passed on to us, and we charge for that service. Regarding margins, I think it's very simple, right? If the location is good, top line is going to be very good, and you can keep OPEX, right? Operating expenses at a minimum, not at a minimum, but operating. We found that operating expenses from, say, a laundromat that generates 100,000 pesos in sales a month is very similar, right, to OPEX of a laundromat that does 250,000, right? Maybe that 150,000 jump in sales, OPEX goes up maybe 15, 20%, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where the real money is, right? Because utilities go up a bit, rent is still the same, and labor is almost still the same. So that's the key, you know, laundromats that can actually generate over 200,000 pesos a month in sales. Because OPEX is maybe 80,000, 90,000 max.
That's $5,000 already. And if you have four of that, that's, you know, that's already a pretty good sum. Yeah.
Imagine if you have 500 or 1,000 of those.
Exactly. And again, those are cash cows that you have across the country. Yeah. But there's another thing that I'm very, very particular about. And I am a victim of this. I have this behavior. I have a go-to laundry cleaning, I guess, because they clean my underwear right. They fold my shit right. It smells good. You know what I'm saying? But on the customer side, how do you, because again, if you have demand or you have supply, you got to develop demand at the same time as that. Mm. How do you then turn new customers to try you guys out in a very competitive market where typically the mom and pop will just undercut you on pricing? How did you capture that demand?
Mm-hmm. Regarding pricing, we actually offer lower pricing than mom and pop, right? We're a more efficient operation. We can actually afford to maybe, you know, first 2 months of operation, if we open a branch organically, we can, you know, look at all the branches around our area, undercut them in pricing, and then, you know, maybe one of them relocates, another one shuts down, and then we can actually increase prices a bit. Nice. But yeah, again, it's cheap pricing and a very good service. It's good standardized service. I think that's our key. That's our magic recipe. And as long as we keep doing that and making sure that our service is good and our pricing is very competitive, you know, we will be able to attract a lot of Filipinos. Because, I mean, Ron, as you know, Filipinos, you know, would rather save 5 pesos here and wait for, I don't know, 30 minutes.
Yes.
Than actually have to pay more money for something, right? Filipinos are very price conscious, especially our target market, right? C&D.
Yes.
Yeah.
That extra 5 pesos can be whatever. Merienda. It's a game changer. Already. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a game changer. Yeah, right. Totally. Yeah.
Now, on the premise of providing great service, and again, I'll go back to nightlife. We're freaking used to it. We're hardwired to give. Yeah. Great service. Because again, you can only do so much with great technology. But if the staff or the team is not prepared to give amazing service, everything will be inconsistent across the board. How do you train your people to make sure that the experience is standardized across, again, 67 now? Am I correct? 67.
63
across the board as we record this, most likely. When we go live, there's more now. But how do you standardize that service that you're talking about that's top-notch?
Right. So great question. We actually believe in, you know, hiring people from... So let's say we open a laundromat in Manila, right? Old Manila. Yeah. We're actually big believers in hiring people from that area, right? Again, they will be... Exactly. They will know what the community needs. They will actually... You know their customers by name, some of them. They will be more in touch of the needs and the wants and of that community specifically. And what we do is we hire people from you know, we try to find the best people that can actually run laundry. Mm-hmm. And then we sort of match them for 2 to 3 weeks with our most experienced employees who've been with us, you know, for over 5 years. So they're able to sort of learn from the most experienced employees, you know, how to fold correctly, how to operate machines efficiently, how to sort of have one of the laundries, you know, clean and tidy and everything. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they can take in that knowledge, take in that experience, and then apply it to their own community, right? So amazing. I think that's a great, also a great recipe for success.
That is amazing. All right. Now let's take our last break. And when we come back, let's now talk about how you guys did all this and ran and raised $900,000 in follow-on funding from local and foreign investors. We'll talk about that more after the break.
Hey, Hustlers, it's time to talk business once again, and we're excited to share a bit more info about our sponsor, Sprout Solutions. And again, just like what I said at the start of the episode, you should check out Sprout's Payroll Starter as you grow your own startup, because this bundle that they have is literally what you need to take your startup to the next level as you grow your employees. And this bundle is your key to freedom, including payroll outsourcing to experts, a subscription to timekeeping and attendance software, and government compliance services. Sprout's Payroll Starter has you covered for payroll, BIR, SSS, and taxes. All the stuff that no founder loves to do. So let Sprout handle the busy work and say goodbye to lines and tax payment stress. All this for as low as 5,000 pesos. Again, that's just 5,000 pesos all in for your payroll and HR needs. So visit sprout.eh payroll-starter-monthly-5k, or again, just click the link in the description box of this episode to elevate your business management game. And again, big thank you to Sprout Solutions, liberating your time for what truly matters. Hey, Hustlers, wish there was an easy way to open a bank account and grow your money without the hassle of lengthy application process and income documents? Well, I got good news, because today's sponsor, Uno Digital Bank, is here to help you achieve your financial goals. You can easily open an account with the Uno app in just 5 minutes and one valid ID. And as one of the 6 digital banks licensed by the Banco Central ng Pilipinas, the company is committed to providing customers with simpler, better, and more accessible banking. Last year, Uno Bank was recognized by the Asia Banking and Finance Awards and bagged the title Open Banking Initiative of the Year due to the success of its partnership with GCash, one of the Philippines' leading mobile wallet platforms. And with the Uno mobile app, you can access an hashtag Uno Ready Savings account and enjoy daily interest crediting. With their hashtag Uno Earn or hashtag Uno Boost Time Deposit accounts, you can enjoy a high interest rate of up to 6.5% per annum. Enjoy monthly payouts with hashtag Uno Earn and flexible tenors with hashtag Uno Boost. Other app features include pay bills, the Uno Virtual Debit MasterCard, life insurance, scan and pay with QRPH, and loans. And the one thing that I really love about Uno Digital Bank is they're open to collaborate with a lot of Filipino startups. I've had a chance to see the partnerships that they've had lined up with the startups that they have, and it's truly exciting to see how a digital bank like Uno can enable startups to unlock the power of fintech through digital banking. So if you're ready to elevate your banking experience, download the Uno mobile app today from the Google Play Store or App Store. Or if you want to collaborate with them, I'll be happy to give you an intro. Just shoot us an email at hello@huffleshare.com. Hey, Hustlers, I hope you're having a great 2024 so far. As you know, a lot of startups had a very challenging 2023, and hopefully things are going to do better this year for a lot of us. Not just because it's the year of the dragon, but also because our sponsor, DragonPay, is here to help your startups process payments in the most efficient way. Established in 2010, DragonPay empowers businesses of all sizes to accept and disburse payments through secure and convenient channels, giving your customers the flexibility to choose the payment method that suits them best. With over 85 partner channels, 35,000 partner branches nationwide, including QRPH, e-wallets, crypto, buy now, pay later, and many more. They also process an astonishing 15 million transactions processed globally each month. DragonPay is your trusted choice for online payments. And here's something to show you how legit DragonPay is. DragonPay was named Fintech of the Year at last year's Philippine Fintech Festival in 2023. So let's make 2024 extra prosperous for you and your startup in this year of the dragon. For more details, head on over to dragonpay.ph. That's dragonpay.ph. Trust the pioneer. Trust DragonPay. And we're back in the break. We are still with Ignacio Failin. There you go. I did not fail you anymore. I did not push her on how
that was spot on. That was spot on.
There you go. I just need to make sure that I got the pronunciation right. But Ignacio, yeah. I want to understand, right? So through all of these things, it's not all rainbows and butterflies. I'm pretty sure you ran across, very difficult challenges you had through. Can you talk about what those very difficult challenges you went through and how did you solve them?
Right. So I think one of our main challenges starting out was during maybe June, July, we actually, pitched our concept to, a lot of VCs, Singapore, Philippines, some in Europe, some in actually in the States. Okay. And they were all like, yeah, we love the business. You have a great management team. You guys seem ambitious. You guys seem to know what you're doing. But again, we don't invest in retail. And we're like, yes, but we're going to develop an app. Why not? And we're like, no. So we actually had countless calls with VCs and they were like, maybe when you have over 50 shops, we can talk again. But back then we only had like 9 or 10. We actually were turned down, but by a lot of investors. But once we were able to secure funding from an institutional investor, the things started to fall into place and the fundraising process was way simpler. And if I may add onto that, we're also developing an app prototype for our pickup and delivery service.
Yep.
And now that we've expanded into A and B markets with our most recent acquisition, we're sort of trying to, we think there's great opportunity in that market as well.
Right.
We should have our app rolled out by maybe February, March next year.
That's amazing.
So that will, offer people in BGC, Makati, Ortigas, Quezon City, the opportunity of, pressing, going into our app. And with 3 or 4 clicks, they can, we can actually send a rider to pick up the clothes, take the clothes to one of our branches and then have it delivered all within 24 hours.
That's amazing. And again, those are the markets that are not price conscious, who will pay for convenience,
right,
and are very tech savvy to actually understand. Exactly. All right, here you go. My dirty clothes. I don't have to go through that. Bye. And just give it back when it's all fine and dandy and smells good. Those are the most amazing thing. Now, I'll just dig in deeper a little bit on the fundraising side. Because similarly, in Podcast Network Asia, we were also in the same boat for a while because people thought that, are you a agency and whatnot? But we're tech enabled always. And at the core of what we do is analytics and tech enablement. It just doesn't look like that because we aggregate or we consolidate podcasts as well, which is not tech driven, but what we do is, again, we help podcasts scale through a SaaS platform called Pod Machine, where, again, just like Weekly, you give us your podcast, you give us your raw file, after 48 hours it's ready to be a podcast. It's basically the Weekly of podcast. And then we have a Pod Metrics, which is the monetization piece. But again, it's so hard to convince investors that you are something different if again, people see it in a different lens. And in reality, you only need one to really make all the dominoes fall, because it's a Mexican standoff all the time. Everybody has their guns, their finger on their guns, but nobody wants to fire the first bullet.
Yeah.
What made you take or make the first check or first domino fall? Because that's sometimes what it takes. And who cuts the first check also matters, because everybody else follows suit and plays Pied Piper on that point.
Yeah. I mean, investors are like penguins, right? Once one of them jumps into the water, they all follow.
Yes.
So
how did you get their first penguin?
So we actually reached out to VC that we knew, the guy running it, Alfonso, the CEO, and one of my partners actually knew personally. Okay. And this guy also, apart from investing in tech companies, he also invests in, more traditional businesses. So he loved the idea. He was like, margins are great. It's highly scalable. The team is great. You have a proof of concept and you guys just need to scale it up. So he was actually the first one to cut us a check. And after that, it was way easier to raise money. So we booked this VC back in August, right? He invested, I'm not going to say the number, but he invested back in late August.
Mm-hmm.
And we also were able to secure financing from Peruvian, South American and Peruvian investors. Yeah.
Wow.
And this was in August. And then now we raised, close to $1 million. And it was from, some couple family offices and also institutional investors in the Philippines. Nice. So, yeah, I think, Ron, just drive a point is, I think, in the current market environment, people are, especially in emerging markets, are overlooking traditional businesses, right?
Yeah.
Traditional businesses, again, can be highly scalable, highly profitable, especially in emerging markets, right?
Right.
Look at Jollibee's. Jollibee's is a brick and mortar business.
Not going anywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. But it was scaled, up to 5,000 locations. Mm-hmm. So I think, there's still a lot of opportunity in more traditional businesses, and especially traditional businesses that are tech enabled, right? So
correct.
We're able to, again, provide a service, have a massive branch footprint throughout the Philippines, and offer an app for more of our high end customers. I think, we should be on the money with that.
I totally agree. And again, it doesn't have to be falling into the buzzword category of metaverse
exactly.
or crypto or play to earn. I mean, those are great. And those are amazing businesses, especially what they've been able to do. But proven businesses like this, or again, who's just been hiding in plain sight? Who would have thought that you can scale this fast, this quick? Right. I mean, this fast, this quick. That makes the same thing. it's amazing because, again, it's plain sight and a lot of it's just been there forever. But again, you come in, swoop right in, and again, blow everything out of the water, literally and figuratively, because you need a lot of water in making a lot of laundry. Now, Ignacio, I want to dig in and pay it forward to our founders here. And one thing about your journey as well as an expat coming into the Philippines, as again, it's getting foresight. And again, having to experience and you have to change. But if there are other expat founders also who's wanting to follow the footsteps of what you have done, what would be the best advice that you'd be giving to expat founders who are coming into the Philippines, especially if they haven't gone here same way you did?
Yeah. I think what I would tell them is to be patient, right? First year or two are going to be an absolute bitch, right? They're going to have to get accustomed to how things run in the Philippines. They're going to have to, just things like, asking for online banking at one of the Filipino banks is going to probably take a month to expedite, right? When in the States, it takes, 3 business days. And we think it's, the most normal thing in the world. Yep. I think patience and also being very resilient. The bad days are very bad. The good days are also very good, right? For expats, especially if they come from, Europe or the States, to be very patient, to try to adapt to how Filipinos do things. Mm. And especially, as I said, they have to be very patient, extremely patient. That's a quality that pays off. Down the line.
Absolutely. Now, in terms of operations, let's just pay it forward to any founder. Yeah. Because again, one thing about laundry is you have to be cash flow efficient also.
Yeah.
What would be your advice, especially in managing cash flow? Because not all startups actually have cash flow. Most of them, again, if they're chasing growth, that's going to be a burning thing. But for you, for this type of business, You can't chase growth and put revenues to the side. It has to be in parallel because that's also the main metric that matters as well. And you need to be very savvy with how you manage cash flow. What would be your advice in getting that done?
Depends on what your goal is as a business, right? If you want to sort of milk the cash flows out of the business, then I guess, for example, having a POS is a great way to reduce pilferage and making sure that every peso is accounted for. But for example, us, how we manage cash flow is we reinvest, we reinvest, we reinvest, right? We don't plan on paying out a dividend. We plan on, both raising capital and reinvesting cash flows. To sort of keep fueling our growth. As you said, managing cash flow is absolutely key, absolutely essential. But it all depends on what your goals are as a business.
All right. Now, I'm curious. Again, you've painted us what you've already done and what that looks like in the end. But what's the overall goal now? Because again, if you're trying to scale this fast, there must be a grand overall North Star or a utopian future that you have in your head. What's that overall goal like?
I think that overall goal looks like 400 to 500 branches in the next 3 years.
Wow.
We found out, Ron, that this is a crazy statistic. Mm. We wash the clothes for around 20,000 to 25,000 people a month.
What? Right?
And probably our total addressable market in Metro Manila is 10 to 11 million people, right? So there's still room, a lot of room for growth. And also pre-pandemic, there were 5,000 laundromats, around 5,000. Now they're currently 3,500. So 1,500 have actually shut down. So, as we wait, who knows if it's going to be next year, in 2 years, 3 years, as that demand keeps increasing, we want to fill that 1.5K branch void. And we want to be able to seize that demand. So if we're able to, open organically and keep closing these accretive deals, then I think, we will be in a very good position to have 400 to 500 branches by 2025.
That is fucking amazing. Thank you so much. But before I let you go, please invite people over if they are now convinced that they have dirty clothes or they want to be part of your team or whatever. Please invite people over to try Week Lean, and where can they find you and how do they do that?
Yeah, so just look at, if you want to look at Week Lean, just go into Google Maps, type in Week Lean, look at the closest branch, and we'll make sure we give you a very good service at a very cheap price. And once you try out our service, you won't go to our competitors or switch service.
There you go. And again, thank you very much, Ignacio. But before I let you go, follow us on whatever podcast app you are listening to. And again, if you also see that there's a star rating in that app that you're using, please give us a 5-star. It would help us get discovered more by more entrepreneurs and hustlers out there. And if we did say some jargon, don't worry, it's going to be the Hustle Share community on Facebook. And lastly, if we did say some jargon, it's going to be the show notes on HustleShare.com. If you want to be also part of the Hustle Share community, it's going to be on the Hustle Share community on Facebook. Again, Ignacio, thank you very much.
Thanks to Million Ron for having me. It was great fun and great fun getting to talk to you and finally being on this podcast. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Look out for my laundry. And again, I'll see you guys in the next episode.